mic? No, not yet.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
There it is. Morning, Jacob Swell. If you don't know me, I'm Mike Russert, director of youth ministry, mostly working with the high school kids. And we are going to be talking about forks in the road today, but before we start that, my wife Patty is here, and she told me, don't say anything about it being my birthday today. She said that about herself. We're talking about these forks in the road, and I got to this fork, and I was like, well, do I talk about it? Like, do I say happy birthday, or do I not, you know? What's the right decision here? And it's going to hurt later, but I think if you guys wouldn't mind singing happy birthday with me real quick. Maybe.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Patty. Happy birthday to you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Love you. Sorry. All right, we got a clip to show you here.
You know, when I was 19, Grandpa took me on a roller coaster.
Oh?
Up, down, up, down. Oh, what a ride.
What a great story.
I always wanted to go again. You know, it was just interesting to me that a ride could make me so frightened, so scared, so sick, so excited, and so thrilled all together. Some didn't like it. They went on the merry-go-round. That just goes around. Nothing. I like the roller coaster. They get more out of it.
So, the roller coaster. Let's just think of how relationships could be like a roller coaster. So there's this guy, and he was dating this girl. They were together for about 3 weeks, and his coworker invited him to a picnic, and he was going to bring his new girlfriend so she can meet all these other coworkers of his. And everything was going well. They got to the barbecue. They're hanging out, and being a guy and you know, a typical guy, he ends up wanting to hang out with all the guys when they kind of segregate themselves. It just kind of happens naturally, right? So he leaves his new girlfriend at a table of his coworkers, and they're all ladies, and, you know, he thinks everything's just great. And then they get in the car an hour and a half later, and then his girlfriend asks, why did nobody talk to me while I was sitting at that table for an hour and a half? No one said one word to me. And the guy thought about it, and then it kind of dawned on him, oh, one of my coworkers that was there is actually kind of an ex-girlfriend. And she wasn't really too pleased about the ex part. I'm still pretty sorry about that one, Patty. She stayed on the roller coaster, though. She didn't hop off the ride. So we're grateful for that. But that's what we're doing when we get in relationships with other people. We're inviting them to share this roller coaster experience with us. And it can be a really crazy ride. It can be an awesome, exhilarating ride, but it can also be a little scary, maybe nauseating at times. So when we get into these relationships, we're inviting people to hop on the ride with us and to see where it goes. So I got asked to talk because it's a series about relationships, and I'm a marriage expert. Patty and I are celebrating 2 years on February 21st. Thank you. I know it's been a long ride. But seriously, we've come a long way since we started dating. There's been a lot of growth. There's been a lot of great times. There's also been a lot of turbulent times. You know, those times where you get off the roller coaster and you're like, oh, my neck, you know? So through that, through all those, ups and downs, and we've really come to get to know one another. We've really learned a lot about each other. And that's what happens when you stay on the ride. You get the aches and pains, but you also get the thrills. So some things that we can do can make the ride more a pleasant experience than others. And those kind of happen when we come to these forks in the road. And that's what we're going to talk about. These times of decisions where we choose one way or the other. We're going to talk about two paths today that we can choose. The two we're going to highlight are, do I present the real me or the fake me in my relationships? And the other is, am I always a we thinker or a me thinker? So I'm using that we or me mentality. So we got another video clip here. I'll show you.
Moving right along, boogie-boom, we'll learn to share the load. We don't need a map to keep this show on the road.
Hey, Fozzie, I want you to turn left if you come to a fork in the road.
Yes, sir. Turn left at the fork in the road. Permit.
I don't believe that.
Moving right along, we found a life on the highway.
Wouldn't that be great if the fork was really there and we could see it that well? But Kermit was reading from a map. He had the right directions. He knew which way to choose. And we, in our relationships, we have a map too. We call it the Bible. It's a book. Have you guys heard of it? It's a good one. But really, it gives us good directions when we get to those forks in the road, especially the, am I presenting the real me or the fake me, or am I choosing me or we? God talks a lot about that. God talks a lot about relationships and gives us some direction on which path to choose. So we're going to highlight some of those today. Which page am I on? Here we go. So fork number one, the real me versus the fake me. We're all guilty of this one. When I started dating Patty, sorry I'm talking about her so much, but it's relationships, okay? When I first started dating her, I wore a wig and I waxed my back all the time, you know, because I didn't want her to know. That's, okay, lie. Self-disclosure. I'll probably feel that one too later. But but I do remember after we got married, married couples share a bed, and I was really, really kind of nervous about when I woke up, you know, there's usually like a puddle of drool on my pillow, and I was so scared that Patty was going to one day see that pile of drool on my pillow. So I remember going to bed at night, and I would just clench my jaw tightly so that I wouldn't drool, and, you know, thinking that maybe subconsciously I can, the fear of her finding out that I drool would help me keep my mouth shut. Well, the next morning I'd wake up and I'd have these really bad headaches and my jaw would be all sore and there'd be a puddle of drool on my pillow. And I think, you know, sometimes this real me, fake me, a lot of the times we pretend like we don't drool, but we do. We all drool. And we have to accept that we are human beings. We're real people. We're real droolers. But we do this all the time, and it's not just in love relationships. You know, it's with coworkers. Maybe it's at a job interview. Are we presenting the real us? Maybe I'm embellishing a little bit on my resume. Maybe I can't come through on all these promises. I don't know. Do you think that'd be appropriate in a political campaign? The real me versus the fake me. I think that works there. Also, in relationships at school, it's really strong desire of ours to be popular, you know, to be the in one. So we pretend to maybe be something that we're not and make promises that we can't keep. Greg shared this really great story. He heard somebody asked a group of first graders, what do you do on your first date? And one of the first graders said, well, you lie so that you can get a second date, right? And it's kind of true. It's great to present the best of ourselves. But when we're dishonest and when we try to present something that's not really us, that's when we can run into some problems. And I don't think society makes it any easier. Society and culture tell us what is cool and what is beautiful and what is pretty, what's funny. it tells us what success is. And a lot of the times that success is marked by a brand name or things or, I don't know, stuff that just puts us further into debt. And it makes it harder and harder for us to be who we actually really are. It's kind of like a cardboard cutout of yourself. You present this image, this person that I want to be, this person who I am. But when you get closer to the cardboard cutout, you realize you can't have a relationship, you know, with a piece of cardboard. We can only have relationships with the real 3D people. Might look good on paper, might look good from a distance, but there's no chance for relationship when we're always putting on the show that's not really who we are. And I think behind all that is a strong, well, this really powerful fear of not being accepted for who we are. So longing for honesty, longing for honesty in our relationships, longing for to be honest about ourselves. That's a big word in this community at Jacob's Well. We have it over here on the banner. It's one of the things that helps define us. We want to be ourselves. We want to be our real self in front of others and in front of God. There's a couple stories from the Bible that help us to look at this. One's from the Psalms. In Psalm 51, David just got kind of told, you know, God knows what you did. He had an affair, slept with Bathsheba, and also had her husband kind of arranged to kill. So he wasn't feeling too good about himself, and he really needed a word of forgiveness, and he actually got one. And then he found out what God is really desiring of David. And I'm going to read a little bit from Psalm 51. He writes, "I've been out of step with you for a long time, in the wrong since I was born. And what you're after is truth from the inside out. Enter me then, and conceive a new me, a true life. See, going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned that God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart-shattered lives, ready to love, don't for a moment escape God's notice." David found out that God wasn't really seeking a show. God wasn't seeking somebody who had it all put together. But God wanted the real David. God wanted the real person inside him. And another thing, I mean, Jacob's Well, the name, how we got our name, is from John chapter 4. It's a great story. This woman at the well, she's a Samaritan, which means she's a Gentile, not a Jew. And she's a little bit north of Jerusalem is where she would have been. And they come to this well where Jacob had been in the past, and Jesus meets her there, and he asks for some water. And she's shocked that Jesus is actually talking to a Samaritan woman, because Jews aren't supposed to mix with Gentiles. It's against their religious traditions. But there's this great, great story there in John chapter 4 where Jesus talks to her about what God's really all about. It's not about the religious traditions and the rituals. I think we have it up on the screen here. I'm going to read. "So it's not who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people who the Father is looking out for. Those who simply and honestly are themselves before him in their worship." And isn't that what we want in our relationships with each other? We want the real person, the real self. I think when we're honest with ourselves and that's who we present to others, that also invites them to be honest and free with us, showing their real self. Let's see. So who we are. Sometimes it's scary to be our real self because we think we're unlovable. You know, if she only knew the thoughts that I had or the things that I've done in my past, there's no way that she would accept me or God would accept me. But we too easily forget this part of Genesis 1 where it talks about, in the beginning, God saw creation and he said it was good. It was so good. I hate to break it to you all here, but we're all humans. You're all human beings. You're all droolers. And God says, you're good. God says, believe it or not, I love the real you. So when you come to this fork of who do I present, this real me or this fake me, remember that we want to engage each other, the real person inside, not the fake, not the show. And that you are beautiful creations of God. beautiful drillers. So feel free to be who you are, but also remember that you need to accept others as real human beings, real drillers themselves. On fork two, so let's move on to me versus we mentality. Does anybody watch reality TV shows? Anybody? Yeah? They're kind of big these days. The reality TV I watch is called Twins Baseball. It's about as real as it gets, but no, really, they're in their heyday right now, those reality shows. I mean, you have Survivor, what do we got, The Real Housewives of New Hampshire or something like that, or then The Bachelor. You know, The Bachelor, when I was looking for a spouse, I didn't have 30 women fighting over me, like fighting to the death. There were only four, and yes, Patty is really strong, so, no, but those shows, they're like, they're wicked. I mean, these people turn into animals. But I think it tells this deep reality. The ironic part of reality TV is that they're so not realistic, but there is a lot of reality. You know, we have this deep need for survival and self-preservation. And I think that comes through, especially in The Bachelor. But we're born with that. I got a clip here to show you about that survival need. I'm not sadistic or anything, but it just really does show that need for self-preservation, but also how it turns into I have to put my needs and wants before yours. And that, I mean, what, they couldn't have been 1 year old yet, right? I don't know. I don't have kids yet, so I don't know. But that's a deep part of who we are. We have a lot of needs, and we need them met. But a lot of times we don't differentiate between needs and wants. And a lot of times we seek to fill our needs and our wants, and it's often at the expense of others. So we definitely get things out of relationships too. That's not to say that we can't be in relationship to get something out of them. But when the person becomes a vending machine and we dehumanize them, that's when we have some issues. You can't have a relationship with a vending machine. What are some of the ways that we do this? So my buddy Joe has a PS3, and he's really my buddy because I don't have one and I need to play my games. Or I like Justin because I can name drop him later around all the other cool band guys. Like, oh, I hung out with Justin today. You know, people think I'm so cool. So, or how about this one? I married Patty because she's supporting me through seminary right now. Thanks for signing the checks, honey. I love you more than that, but I do appreciate it. But we can't make people vending machines. You know, they're not just means to satisfy our needs. They're actually other people. They're other real human beings. So what does moving this from this fork from me to we look like? Well, if you send me a check, there's going to be an address up here. It's my home address. Send me a check for $29.99. I'll send you 3 videos on how to move from me to we. Okay. Nobody's buying it? Where's the address? All right. We'll move on. But seriously, I think it is simple. There is a simple solution. We need to open our eyes, and we need to actually use our ears. It's easy to go through life with our eyes closed because we can see our eyelids, and that means we're really looking at ourselves. But when we open our eyes, we see other people. And then we move beyond that, we use our ears one step more, and we actually realize that they have needs and fears and hopes and wants. We have to listen. We have to look. Even kids, even your parents have those needs and fears and wants. So remember that. Keep your eyes open. I'm sure the parents would love for you to hear that word. But this call is made continuously throughout the Bible. You start with the Ten Commandments. The prophets are always saying, open your eyes, listen, and see the other person. I don't know if you guys have heard this one, but love your neighbor as yourself. It seemed to be a kind of an important word from the Bible. And of course, it's easier said than done. And that's why we need to do this in community. We can't do it by ourselves. We fail. We need people in our lives that can encourage us, that can support us, that can, you know, keep us accountable. And we're going to hear a little bit about group life. I know a lot of you have some great accountability that happens in group life, great encouragement from friends. So we'll hear more about that later. Well, I'm sure you're all really grateful that I've taken this time to enlighten you. I mean, what I've told you is, you know, only I could come up with this. It's not right. It's not obvious. No, but it does work. It really works. But that doesn't mean it's easy. And it also doesn't mean that we haven't come to a fork in the road and made a lot of series of bad decisions. We kind of get stuck in the ruts. Do you remember when Don talked about those relationship ruts? One of them was, I won't fight with my in-laws at Christmas. Well, I didn't fight with my in-laws at Christmas, but I found a couple other relatives to fight with. It's hard. It's not easy stuff. And we get stuck, and we kind of get this mentality that I can't fix it. We have this no hope mentality. But this isn't true. This isn't our story. And that's not what this book is all about. So in this book, we find that we have a God who's all about acceptance, who's all about forgiveness. And we have a God who meets us where we're at. And I got a verse up here. From Romans 5, verse 8. But God proves his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Kind of unpack that sinner's word. While we were still choosing, you know, me over we. While we were still choosing to present this fake me over the real me. God still came and died for us. Because that was the choice that God made. You see, God came to this fork in the road. And God chose you. God chose to love you. God chose to die for you. God chose to give you life, to meet you where you were at, so that you could be your real self, and your real self while you engage with others. So maybe we've made some poor choices in the past. Maybe we've you know, kind of screwed up when we've been at the forks in the road, choosing ourselves or choosing to present this fake me. But with a God that meets us where we're at, we don't have Jesus who kind of is on the right path and he yells, you know, hey, come on over here. You know, I know you're stuck over there, but if you can just make yourself, kind of work yourself over this way. You know, God doesn't do that, but God meets us right where we're at. And in fact, we find out that God has been there the whole time, that God is with us. And God says to us, let's go back. Let's get on the right path and we'll do this together. And God takes us by the hand and then we can move forward. So being people of hope, together with the help of God and each other, we can start living. We can start choosing we over me, and we can start presenting the real us versus the fake us. We can be droolers with each other and accept the other drooler who's looking at you in the face. I have some encouraging words here from Romans, from chapter 12. I think they're up here. So it says, love from the center of who you are and don't fake it. Run from dear life from evil. Hold on to your dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled in a flame. Be alert servants of the master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times and pray all the harder. Help needy Christians to be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy and share tears when they're down. Get along with each other and don't be stuck up. And make friends with nobodies and don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. And if you, if if you've got it in you, get along with everybody. These are words about what it means to live and what it means to live fully. And that's the invitation that God has for us. God wants us to fully live, to be real humans, to be real droolers, to live for each other. And he shows us that in the love that he gives us through his son. So I invite you this week to choose we over me and to show the real you over the fake you, because you can, because God loves you, who you are, and the beautiful creation that you that he made you. Jeremy is going to come up and share a little bit about his group life experience, and maybe he can tell a little bit about what community has meant for him.